Hello, PMP Tribe. Good morning. It is Q&A day. Let me turn my phone over so that it doesn't distract me. How are you guys doing? How is everyone? I'm doing okay. It's been an interesting day already. I have a list of things to get done, including this Q&A, which I love. You know, Q&A is fun for me. So I'm going to just talk for a minute while you guys come in about something I coached on. What day was it? Office hours, maybe Tuesday night. So if you haven't seen Robin's post, I really want you guys to go back and look. Robin Heeb is tracking 100 urges. And the reason she is doing this is because she is going to show herself what she's doing right. And I think, y'all, I think there's so much good to be found in making sure that you acknowledge the things that you are successful at. It is so easy to look back on your day and pick it apart in your assessment and find out everything that's wrong. Okay? I was talking to someone this morning about, what do you think your thought download could be if you looked at your assessment and saw that you followed your plan perfectly? Okay? There's nothing to level up in yesterday's plan. So, okay, so you created a plan, you did your assessment, you found that you did everything on your assessment. Does that mean you don't have to thought download that day? Or does that mean you should go in and say, what went right today? You know, how was it I was able to accomplish everything and did everything and showed up and followed my plan and got my exercise in and drank all my water and did my self-care, whatever it is, everything that you planned, how can I repeat that? Okay, so instead of always looking for what's going wrong or what needs to be leveled up, which is, you know, there's a place for that, okay? I'm not telling you don't do that, right? But what I am telling you is there's so much value in a positive thought download as well, in a thought download that explains what's going right. Okay? So I just wanted to share that. I think it's really important that you also give yourself some positive feedback. Okay? I say okay a lot, don't I? Make sure you give yourself positive feedback. Make sure you show yourself every day what went right, so that you can be sure to also reinforce that you're doing some really great work, okay? All right, a couple of questions are coming in, so I'm going to go ahead over here and get started. Angela says, doing recovery worksheets, I noticed that they refer to overeats. I don't think I overeat, but I eat off plan. Should I treat these the same, or is there another option? Yes, treat them just the same. Actually, if you look at a real broad definition of an overeat, it includes eating off plan. Okay, so you may not have eaten past your plus two, but if you decided you didn't want that salad and you wanted a cheeseburger instead, then you should definitely do a recovery worksheet. Okay, now I'm going to tell you that if you swapped a salad for a, you know, chicken breast and some green beans, I wouldn't necessarily need to do a recovery worksheet if you felt like you did it for a good reason. Okay. So, you know, swapping good fuel foods for good fuel foods, you know, if your salad, you know, mix was bad or something like that, you know, that's, you don't really need to do a recovery worksheet. That's just, you know, accessing a backup plan. But if you swapped out because I don't feel like a salad, I'd rather have a cheeseburger, then yeah, I would definitely do a recovery worksheet. Amanda says, I don't do a thought download every day. Should we be doing this? New Year's baby. There's a module in No BS about thought downloads. If you are ready, if you have your four basics down, and you're executing them like a boss, you can start doing thought downloads if you want. It's not, you know, thought download is not one of the four basics. And the most important thing, especially for you newbies, your New Year's babies is to make sure that you have got your four basics down. Now, if you're doing the four basics, you're writing out your plan, you're assessing, you know, you're figuring out your hunger scale, and you want to do a thought download, you know, basically a thought download is just a journal entry. How did today go? What am I feeling? What would I like to improve on? Why did I do my overeat? You know, all it is like writing a dear diary for 3 or 4 minutes that may uncover a thought that you didn't know you were thinking. Okay, it may just explain something to you that you hadn't really put a lot of thought into. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll wake up in the morning and I take my shower. And when Ken gets in the shower, that's my thought download. That's my journaling time. And if I really don't know what I'm gonna journal about, I'll just ask myself, what am I feeling? And, you know, it could be happy, it could be sad, it could be tired, it could be, you know, ready or prepared. And then I'll say, why am I feeling? And I'll insert whatever feeling it is. Okay. So I'll say, if I wake up and I'm down, why am I feeling down? It's really easy for me personally to access my feelings. Okay. I know pretty much what my surface feeling is, but I don't always know why I'm feeling it. Okay. Thoughts create feelings, right? So if you can identify what that thought is, sometimes, you know, you can decide if that thought is really true. All right. So if I'm writing a thought download and I say, why am I feeling down? And one of the thoughts I have is, I don't like the way I showed up today. And I really look at the way I showed up and I look at, you know, gosh, I got a lot done. You know, why do I think I didn't show up well? You know, I can say I showed up just fine. Why is that thought even in there? Right? So it gives you an opportunity to hear what's going on in your head and that inner dialogue and decide if it's really true. And then you can decide if you want to keep thinking that thought or not. So the long answer to your question, Amanda, is if you're ready to do a thought download each day, to do a little dear diary or a journal entry, go ahead and do it. If you want to hang on to the basics and you don't feel like you have them down and in, you know, habit space yet, then just stick there. You can pretty much make that decision. Amanda just said, I feel like I've mastered the basics. I've completed No BS, lost 11 pounds, and started the accountability modules. Great. So I have I don't have it in here with me. I have a little $5 journal I picked up from Michaels that says something like, be happy on the front of it. And all it is line pages. That's where I do my thought downloads. It stays next to my, nightstand. And when Ken gets in the shower, I sit on the bed and I do a little thought download every day. So you can try that if you want. Candy, advice on the fear of losing weight, that there may be changes to your life that you may not like. Example, I have seen many friends and families divorce after weight loss. I'm going to bet the divorces didn't come because of weight loss. That's just my thought, but I'm going to bet that that's not what precipitated the weight loss. So make sure that when you look at your fears of losing weight, this is a good thought download prompt for you, Candy. Why do I fear losing weight? Okay. And if it comes out that, you know, so-and-so lost weight and got a divorce, then you can look at that and say, is that really why that divorce happened? Okay. It probably wasn't the weight loss. That's all I'm going to. I mean, and if it was someone else's thought about the weight loss. So what your brain is doing is giving you excuses to eat. When it starts throwing up those fears, it's like, wait a minute, you're trying to change something here that I really like, and I like eating. You know, I like distracting myself. I like not thinking. I like just eating. So maybe we should just keep eating instead of losing weight. You know, brains are very habit oriented and they don't like change. So what if you looked at that as an excuse your brain was telling you and decided, you know what? My marriage is fine. I'm not going to worry about this right now. In fact, when you lose weight and you feel better about yourself and your body, and you physically feel better, you show up better, right? You know, you're not talking down to yourself. You're more active. You can get out of the chair without being frustrated. Whatever it is, you lose a little bit of weight and, you know, your life begins to change. Maybe, you know, maybe that's something to think about. So I think I would thought download on those, the fears. The other thing, Candy, is you can always, you know, talk some more about this in Ask Coaches, or Betsy has office hours on Saturday and I have them again next Tuesday. So we can talk some more about this in a little bit more detail if you'd like. Deborah, I don't get how eating off plan is an overeat. I subbed a snack yesterday, but didn't actually eat past plus two or binge. It was off plan and I did a recovery worksheet, but the semantics confuse me. Well, did you sub, you know, regular fuel food snacks? You know, I don't really have a problem with that. And I don't believe Corinne does either. You know, if you had a cheese stick on your plan and you subbed it for a ding dong, I would think that would, you know, require a recovery worksheet. But if you sub some nuts or an apple or a pear or something like that for a cheese stick, then, you know, if you feel good about that decision and it worked for you and it felt good to you, then you might not need a recovery worksheet. But if you binged, or if you ate way too much, or if you subbed out, you know, an ice cream cone for your healthy snack, then yeah, I would definitely do a recovery worksheet. I hope that clears it up a little bit. You know, sometimes I'll give you another example. Monday night, Ken and I had spaghetti planned. Well, I didn't finish up work. I listened to Corinne's Q&A and I didn't finish up work until like 7:30. And I really didn't want to go downstairs and spend half an hour over the stove cooking spaghetti at 7:30 at night. I was tired. I was hungry. So I took Thursday night's already prepped meal and heated it up for Monday night. That was fine. I felt good about that decision. It was swapping something I had already planned for later in the week for something on Monday night. It helped me. It was still good fuel food. That's not a recovery worksheet situation. Okay. Yeah, I ate off plan, but it was okay because I still had healthy food. And I just, you know, that to me is like updating the plan. Okay. So that's not really a need for a recovery worksheet in my book, because I did what felt good for me and I didn't go get a cheeseburger or eat a pizza or something like that. Okay. I hope that helps explain that a little bit, Deborah. If it doesn't, ask a clarifying question. Okay. Melissa, still struggling with the hunger scale, can't seem to tune into it. Suggestions. Which side of the hunger scale? I'll talk about both of them for a minute, okay? So on the hungry side, what I would do to help nail it in, Melissa, is after, you know, I don't know if you've had breakfast yet, but when you start to feel hungry, I would write down exactly what your body feels like. Okay. So for me right now, I have not had breakfast. All I've had is a little bit of coffee. I thought at about, I don't know, half an hour ago, I thought, I've got this Q&A and maybe I should eat. And I was like, no, wait, you're not hungry yet. Okay. So I had no hunger signals at all half an hour ago. Right now, my mouth is a little dry. And I can tell my stomach is starting to churn up a few juices. I'm starting to get a few little hunger kicks, okay? So what I would do for you is I would write that down, okay? So I have identified where I am right now at probably minus one because I'm starting to feel just a little bit hungry. So then in 30 minutes, write down what you're feeling, okay? So it might be for me, let's just assume in 30 minutes, the hunger kicks in my stomach are a little bit stronger and I might have a little growl. Okay. So what you do is you write down what you feel like when you're not hungry. And then in an hour, see what your body feels like. See what kind of signals you have. It might not be any, and it might be the first few. It might be a little bit of a headache. It might be, I can tell when it's time to eat because I can breathe really deeply. It's like, you know, your stomach is really high up against your diaphragm, right? So when it's full, you can't expand your lungs as much, right? So when it's empty, you can take a really good deep breath. So that's one of my cues to know that my stomach is empty and it might be getting ready for food. So on the minus side of the scale, that's what I do. It's almost like having your own little hunger scale challenge where you, every 30 minutes or an hour, you write down what you're feeling. And then you rate that. You know, this might be -1 because I have a little whisper of hunger. And this might be -2 because it's a little stronger than a whisper. And this might be -3 because my stomach is really growling now. So, you know, write those down in order, time order, and then rate them. On the plus side of the scale, you kind of do the same thing. So what I always suggest to people is that they serve up a meal and they eat half of it. And they wait 10 minutes. Okay? If you wait during that 10 minutes, it gives your food time to leave your mouth, swallowing, and get down to your stomach. Because it's going to take about that much time. If you think about how your body works, you know, your esophagus is doing all this squeezing and moving the food down as your digestive juices are loosening it up and stuff. And then when it hits your stomach, it's about 10 minutes between mouth and stomach. So after 10 minutes, you evaluate your hunger again. And you say, am I still hungry? What am I feeling? How does my stomach feel? Does it feel like food's hitting it? If you feel like you're still hungry, eat half again as much. Do the same thing, okay? Wait 10 minutes, then evaluate how your body feels. This is a practice. You're not going to get all these answers the first time you do it. But it's a practice in paying attention and being really conscious of how your body feels. So you'll need to do this at the table, and you'll need to do it without distractions. Okay? So that's kind of the exercise that I use and that I explain to people as they're trying to figure out their hunger scale. So I hope that helps. Pam, can I do a thought download electronically, or does it have to? Does it help to write it on paper? You can type it out if you want. However you thought download the easiest, or where you might be, whatever is convenient for you. Just make sure that you can picture the words. This sounds kind of funny, but this is what I do. I visualize the words coming out of my fingertips, whether I'm typing or writing. I will tell you, though, that writing slows your brain down because you cannot write as fast as you can think. A lot of us can type fast, though. So if you slow your brain down by writing, it helps you access the thoughts a little bit easier. So, but you can do either way. Try it both ways and see which ways work for you. Let's see. Kathy wants to know the discomfort with more attention and sadly ogling after significant weight loss, how to feel more comfortable gaining more attention. I coached someone on this not too long ago. And she was telling me about how she walked into like a restaurant in her exercise clothes. She probably had tights on to pick up a takeout order. And she said, somebody said something to her while she was waiting. You know, some man said something like, you know, looking good, baby, or something like that. And she said it just brought up so much fear. You know, the attention, I didn't like the attention. And I asked her, I said, why not? Why did you feel unsafe? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you know, unsafe is caused by a thought. I said, what was your thought? And she said, my thought was, I've lost weight and now I'm getting too much attention. And she felt unsafe. And I said, all right, so what do you think? If you were Corinne and you walked in, same restaurant, same guy, same takeout order, same everything, and he said to her, you know, hey, baby, you look pretty good. What do you think she would say? She'd be like, Well, yeah, of course I look good. You know, I'm the queen, right? And so what do you think her thought was? My point here, Kathy, is the discomfort is a feeling that you're creating with a thought. Okay? I don't know if people ogle me at 160 more than they did at 230. I don't know if they ogled me at 230 either. I just don't pay attention to that. I pay attention to how I feel and the attention that I give myself. Okay? So I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm like not paying attention to my surroundings or whatever. But the point is the discomfort you feel when someone pays you a compliment or says something to you is created by a thought, and you get to choose the thought. So you can choose a thought like Corinne's. It's like, yep, I do look good because I've worked really hard. Or you can choose a thought like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't lose weight because people are going to see me. Which one feels better, right? You decide which one feels better. So how do you feel more comfortable gaining more attention? With a thought. You know, we teach the girls at camp to say, I don't remember what it was. It used to be, thank you, I've been working very hard. Oh, and now it's, thank you, I love that about myself. What if you had that thought? Does that make you feel more comfortable? Melissa, so she's the one struggling with a hunger scale. And she said, eating if I'm really hungry, hunger signs go straight to headache. Two quick things about hunger. I want you to pay attention to the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. Okay? Physical hunger is what you feel in your body. All right? So it comes on slowly. All right? If you're going straight to headache, you might not be recognizing that you have other hunger cues. So it's going to be really important for you to do this exercise, you know, as, you know, every half an hour to an hour, writing down how you're feeling. Okay. Emotional hunger comes on really fast. It's like urgent. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm stressed and I need a donut. It's like, he made me really angry and now I need a snack. Okay. So it's emotional hunger is fueled by an emotion and it comes on really strongly and urgently. Physical hunger is going to ease in. So if you're going straight to headache, you might be missing some hunger signs. So do that exercise, okay? Heidi, I am having trouble sticking to my plan. Often when we get home from work, we are tired and don't want to cook, or what was planned doesn't sound good. How can I get myself through this BS? Ask yourself why it has to sound good. That's it. You can push through tired and cook, all right? Or you can heat something up like I did that you've already prepared. Maybe food prep is what you need to think about there. But doesn't sound good? That's not a good excuse to eat off plan. That's just it. You know, plan things you like and decide that they're going to sound good. Decision ahead of time, made, committed, done, eat, move on. You know, I think we spend a lot of time worried about how our food is going to taste. And while nobody likes to eat food they don't like, you just plan things that you know you're going to like, and then you eat them. And if, you know, if it doesn't sound good, ask yourself why you want to go off plan. Is that really a good reason? Okay. So you're planning, and that's great. Now it's time to commit. Decide when you make that plan, decide this is the plan for the day. And all the BS excuses are non-negotiables. It's just not going to, you know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to tell myself that. It doesn't sound good. Because in the long run, I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. That's what it boils down to. Back to Deborah. It's the term overeat that has me confused. Is overeating anything not on plan and not an equivalent slop? Or is it binging or going past two? You know what? It's semantics. Okay? You're overthinking. If you're eating off plan, why don't you just decide that that's a time to do a recovery worksheet? If you don't like the word overeat in there, just scratch it out and put off plan. Why did I, instead of why did I overeat? Why did I eat off plan? treat it the same way, do the same work. I think that's the point here. The recovery worksheet is for when you don't keep your commitment to yourself. That's all it is, okay? It's eating off plan. It's making a swap that's not a level swap. It's eating past your plus two. I mean, even if it's to plus three, all right? If we're teaching you to eat to plus two and you eat to plus three, maybe you should think about a recovery worksheet, right? Y'all, those recovery worksheets are probably one of the most valuable worksheet you will do. And if you keep them, it's going to show you trends. It's going to show you when you answer that question, what thought led to this overeat, and you start seeing it's the same thought every single time, then you can clue your brain in to say, you know what? There's that thought again. And when I think that thought, I eat past my plus two. You know, it might be this thought that we were talking about here a minute ago. It doesn't sound good. Okay. If that thought keeps showing up for you, then you want to prepare a response to that thought. You want to say, it doesn't matter if it sounds good. It sounded good when I made the plan, so I'm going to decide it sounds good now. Or you can say, of course it sounds good. Why am I telling myself that? You know, you can just prepare an answer for that thought that you start seeing come up over and over again on those recovery worksheets. That's why they're so valuable. They show you your trends and your habits. Okay. I was, have y'all listened to or read Atomic Habits? I know a lot of you are. A lot of you have. I think I'm probably about halfway through it. And I was, I got to the point where he starts talking about cues. Okay. And cues are so interesting because that's the thing that happens that starts you in your habit cycle. So sometimes a cue can be a thought. Sometimes it can be an action. You walk into the kitchen and you see the cookie jar. You know, that can be the cue to the habit that has you eating cookies, right? So watch for those things. Record them on your recovery worksheets because they can be really valuable. Somebody driving by McDonald's on their way to work every morning, seeing that McDonald's can be the cue to drive right in and get a sausage biscuit, right? And maybe the sausage biscuit isn't on her plan. So how do you deal with that? You drive another way to work, or you drive in the outside lane or the inside lane so you can't use the turn lane or something like that. You interrupt that process so that your habit brain doesn't get a hold of it and say, you know, okay, sausage biscuit. Melissa, with planning, I will put 2 to 3 items for each meal. Example, lunch, soup and salad, or Lean Cuisine pizza. I end up eating one on plan. Today, I thought I'd do this because I'm not truly committing. Do you stick to an exact item or allow a variety? That's a really good question. Because when I wrote my plan today, my lunch and dinner had options. Isn't that funny? I did that because it's Valentine's Day and because I know that either lunch or dinner, we're going to go out to eat. We're going to have, you know, I work at home, Ken works at home. We don't see each other very often during the day. We kind of stick to ourselves, but we decided one of those meals we were going to share together. But I didn't know which one yet because I hadn't decided yet when I made my plan. So I created options. I don't do that every day, but then I always, you know, I plan, for me, I plan on the weekends for the rest of the week, and then I write a daily plan to reinforce that. So I don't often give myself options, but then I don't have to. If this is a way, Melissa, that you can follow your plan, then I would do that, but then I would practice sometimes not giving yourself options and see what comes up. You know, see what, do the thought download around that. See if you're having thoughts like the person earlier did when she said it doesn't sound good. You know, is that a thought that you want to entertain? Is that something that you want to, you know, that you want to stick with? Amber, I had pasta and one breadstick on my plan for dinner last night, but I made broccoli instead of breadsticks and had that instead. I didn't consider eating off plan, should I? I thought I was actually making a better choice. No, I think that's fine. If you feel good about it, if you feel like it was a better choice and you up-leveled there in the moment, I don't think that's a problem at all. What would your recovery worksheet say, right? I don't really, my thought was I can up-level this, right? So That's not really recovery. That's just like, you know, being kind to yourself. Tara, how do I manage my thoughts while I'm sick and all I want are the foods that make me feel good? You tell yourself food doesn't make you feel good because it doesn't. Okay? Food fuels your body. Now, when you're sick, your plan might change a little bit, especially if you have like a stomach bug. You know, you might not want big, heavy foods. You might just want soup. But you should still plan, okay? But just remember, food doesn't make you feel better. Food doesn't give you comfort. Food doesn't do any of that stuff. All it does is go in your body and nourish your body. That's its job, okay? It's your job to comfort yourself when you're sick, to stay in bed, to drink your water, to take care of yourself, to practice self-care, okay? It's not food's job. Angela, I struggle so much with feeling like my plan is restrictive. I am making more realistic plans. I don't know if the plan is too specific, and then I get pissed off about it and think I can't have something. If I plan more generically, do you think that would help, like putting apple, like instead of putting apple, put fruit? Why do you think your plan is restrictive? If you're making realistic plans, why do you think they're restrictive? Do you, you know, is it because you're planning chicken and broccoli, or is it because you're planning, period? That's what I'd like to know. So come back in and answer that question for me, okay? Brenda, OMG, I just ate a sleeve of Girl Scout Thin Mints. I ordered them a while ago, and she just brought them to my office. It was like autopilot kicked in, and I opened them and ate the whole sleeve. How do I stop this? Well, were they on your plan? Did you have any dialogue before you opened the sleeve other than, oh, look, it's cookies? You know, do you catch yourself in the moment? Do you think about while you're eating them, I'm eating cookies here? You know, figure out where you are in the process of the overeat. If it was total fog and you looked down and they were all gone, then the answer is you don't eat undistracted. You don't eat distracted. Stop eating at your desk. But if it's, oh my gosh, I can't stop eating. I love these. These taste so good. You know, that's when you start answering those questions, answering those thoughts. Yeah, I love these. These are good, but I don't need to eat the whole sleeve right now. You know, wrap them up, put them aside, you know, decide when you can have more. You know, it's all about the dialogue, all about what you tell yourself, how you answer those urges, how you talk to yourself. It's all about creating the right dialogue and the right thoughts so that you can create the feelings of commitment, of control, and all those things. And Brenda, it's a process, right? You're not going to go ahead straight to, I'll never even know the Girl Scout cookie. Okay, but it's about catching yourself while you're eating them and saying, you know what, I'm stopping right now. It's about reflecting on and doing the recovery worksheet and figuring out what thought led me to this. Why did I keep eating? You know, it's all about self-discovery and then planning how you're going to attack the next time. You know, do your recovery worksheet, because this is going to be really key for you. If there's another sleeve, a Girl Scout of Thin Mints in that box, I bet, right? So what are you going to do next time? That's that last question on the recovery worksheet. How am I going to handle this with the next sleeve? Go ahead and think about that. Make your plan, and I would visualize it, all right? Visualization, y'all, is like practice for your brain. Your brain doesn't know. When you visualize something, your brain doesn't know that you haven't already done it. It thinks that you've already done it that way so that you can actually come back and say, and your brain says, I know we can do this because we've done it already. All right? So think about how you're going to handle that next sleeve, how you're going to portion them out, how you're going to, you know, are you going to eat the whole sleeve again? If you do, eat it intentionally. Know what you're doing. Plan it ahead of time. Plan for tomorrow. I'm going to eat that second sleeve. And then decide if that's really what you want to do. Okay, but visualize it ahead of time and make sure you eat them intentionally. If you love Thin Mints, you want to enjoy every one of them, right? You don't want to just fog eat through them. Angela, to answer the question, okay, because I am planning. Why? See, I wondered, You know, if you're doing realistic plans and you still think they're restrictive, your brain is just fighting the planning process. Okay. So why do we do the planning process? It's so we can learn that we don't have to be impulsive or spontaneous with food. Okay. So the thoughts that are leading to restrictive, you know, you want to look at those. You want to say, why do I think planning is restrictive? And you want to write for 3 or 4 minutes. And I bet it's because you like spontaneity. Okay. So then you tell yourself, I'm going to spontaneously plan the next 24 hours. You know, just move that spontaneity back to when you do your plan. All right. And then decide that this is the plan for the day. And this is how you control what's going in your mouth and how you lose weight. So, you know, which is it going to be? You want to be spontaneous and impulsive, or do you want to plan and lose weight? You know, decide that the spontaneity comes when you do the plan. See if that helps. That's the part I'm having trouble with, being grown up. I know. All right, Shawnee, I don't know what you're referring to. Being grown up. I know I'm acting like a child. I'm not sure how to be grown up. Sure you do. You're grown up every day, right? This is the kind of thought that comes out in a thought download. I'm not sure how to be the grown up. All right. I want you, Shawnee, to go back and list 30 ways you act like a grown up every single day. Things like you take a shower all by yourself. You put yourself to bed at night. You go to work and you do your job. You know, what do you do at your job? Those can be other things. You dress yourself. Grown-ups do that. There are 30. You could probably blast out 30 in about 3 minutes. Okay. So there are many, many ways that you act like a grown-up every single day. So why do you act like a grown-up in those ways? And you don't act like a grown-up with your food. That's where your work is, to figure out why you act like a child with your food. Okay. There's some thought in there, like food gives me comfort, or I don't, you know, this is the only thing I have control over, or, you know, I don't want to think about my food, or there's some, you know, temper tantrum thought going on in there, obviously, because you have all caps. So figure out what that thought is and ask yourself why that applies to food and doesn't apply to bathing and doesn't apply to work and doesn't apply to taking care of your kids or your husband and doesn't apply to cleaning your house. All those other ways that you act like a grown-up every single day. Okay? Mary Beth, I saw a poster on Facebook and realized she did better on plan when she was eating beef. It got me to thinking, when I ensure I have a bit more carbs with my protein, I sustain longer. Snacks are not needed when I look back on those days. Days I don't plan that way, I snack excessively and often off plan. Is that normal? Adding a bit more carbs in changes my eating habits. I think it's a great realization when you pull anything like that out of your planning, out of your assessing. Everybody is different. So you say, is that normal? I would ask you, is that normal for you? Okay. I thought when I saw that post about eating beef, I thought it was brilliant that she noticed that. Not beef doesn't agree with everyone. Beef doesn't work that way for everyone, but it works that way for her. And I think it's beautiful that when you assess and you read back your assessments, that you notice things like that. That's why we do them. That's why you create your own food protocol. That's a lesson in the No BS, guys. You look through there, you create that protocol, you do that worksheet, and you identify the foods that work in your body. Okay? I eat a lot of beef too. I hadn't, you know, when I read that, I hadn't put together that maybe that's my body just likes that because it sustains me longer, but it's something I'm going to look at. It obviously got you to thinking about adding a few good carbs to your protein helps you. But that might be your normal. It might not be everyone's normal, though. What it does is it triggers people to look back at their stuff, to look back at, you know, at their assessments. That's why you do them, so that you can figure out what types of foods work for you. Back to the person who throws a fit because she feels restricted in planning, wouldn't it be great to know that your body feels really, really good when you eat beef or add carbs to your meals or don't add carbs to your meals or eat fish once a day or whatever it is? Wouldn't that feel really great if all of a sudden all those restricted feelings went away because you knew how to fuel your body? You know, think of it in terms of data. Y'all know how much I love data, and I don't even have 10 key anymore, which makes me sad. I'm going to have to buy one just to have it on my desk. But when you have that data, then, and you know what your body likes, and you know what sustains you, and you know that eating, you know, a certain breakfast carries you all the way to lunchtime and beyond, then you've created a great food protocol for yourself that not only allows you to stay out of the kitchen, it has you losing weight. I figured out not too long ago that chicken salad is really good fuel for me. Right? My body loves chicken salad for some reason. If I make it homemade, I use rotisserie chicken, right? Pickles, mayonnaise, hard-boiled eggs, diced onions, and I throw it in a big piece of romaine lettuce when the romaine is not, you know, tainted with some terrible bacteria. And I eat it like a lettuce taco. I stay full and I lose weight that week when I eat chicken salad. I love chicken salad. So, you know, maybe that's something that I should repeat more often, right? Because it tastes good. I look forward to it. And, you know, my body, it sustains me and I lose weight. It's probably the added fats, right? So to answer your question, Mary Beth, yes. If that's what feels good to you, then that's your normal. Okay. Everybody's not going to have the same normal. Amber, wow, I just realized listening to that comment that the more real or healthy food I have, less cravings and stick to my plan better. Yes. I wonder if it's less chemicals bombarding my brain from super processed food. Okay, I've heard Corinne talk about this a lot. I've read a lot about this. Food, processed food, like Ding Dongs, Little Debbie's, Cheez-Its, you know, things like that. These food companies have engineered that food in a way that when you eat it, you crave more of it. I am not joking here. That's why when you eat, Little Debbie's come to mind. I used to love those raspberry, the little twirly ones, the rolls with the raspberry stuff in them. Oh my gosh. I could eat the whole box in a day. There were like five or six of them in there. You eat one and the food is engineered in such a way, processed in such a way that it lights up your brain with some kind of dopamine hit from all the processed sugar and it creates the craving for more. When you eliminate that stuff from your diet, all that processed, engineered, junky food from your diet, you don't crave it anymore. You know, you're not creating that hit that creates the craving. So from a physiological standpoint, yes. If you eliminate that stuff and you get beyond those cravings and the need for that food, then you start to enjoy your healthy food more, your, you know, less engineered food more. So yeah, Amber, you're exactly right. The more real or healthy food, more whole foods you eat, the less cravings you have and the easier it is to stick to plan. So absolutely. That's a really great way to look at your assessments too. You know, when you go back and you look at the days that you have those, you know, Little Debbie thingies and you see how you ate and you go back and look at the days, you know, a few days after you finish them and you're back on your whole foods and you see how you ate and the progress that you made and the things that went right that day. Because food not only affects, you know, your weight loss and your weight gain, it affects your brain processes. It affects how you show up during the day. It affects your digestion. It affects your bathroom habits. It affects your sleep. You know, you clean all that stuff up, you know, you can be a total badass, right? Okay. How are we doing on questions? I don't see anything else here. You guys want to ask me more stuff? Let's see. Stacy says, I have this thinking that if I can't eat a large amount of a dessert like a Halo Top, it's not worth it to eat any at all. In some ways, it's good because I'm eating a lot less of it, but I'm not learning to eat a little. Do you think I need to work on this now, or can I leave it alone while I work on the other habit around the hunger scale? I want to know why it's not worth just eating a few bites. What if that's all you really want? What if that's all you're hungry for? Why do you have to overeat dessert, or it's not worth it? That's a really interesting comment. I wish we could talk. You know, sometimes I'll plan dessert and Ken and I will split it, and I enjoy every bite. And I know that that's all, you know, that's all I need because it was a special occasion. You know, we go to a place in town called McNamara's sometimes. I keep telling Betsy and Mary Jo I need to take them there because they have Bailey's cheesecake. No kidding. Y'all know I love cheesecake. Y'all know I'm a cheesecake eater. But Ken and I will always split it, and it's enough. You know, sometimes he'll have more than half because I just like two or three bites. I enjoy the taste, and then I decide I'm done. I don't need any more. I want to wear my jeans tomorrow, basically, is what had happened. So, Stacy, ask yourself, you know, why you need to overeat dessert when you plan it. And just think about it. You know, just have that question in the back of your mind when you eat dessert. Do I really need to overeat this to enjoy it? Or can I save some more for tomorrow? So I think you asked me, can I leave it alone? I'm going to ask you, should you? Is that something you think you should work on? Or is that something, you know, you want to just have in the back of your mind for when you plan dessert? Interesting question. And it is work that you can do while you're evaluating your hunger scale, because even with dessert, you still want to eat to plus two. You don't want to overeat, right? Sarah wants to know, I'm making my realistic plan for the day, but the plan feels like it conflicts with my 2-pound goal this week. Also have a girls' weekend this weekend. Realistic planning is looking like an exception several days. You know, when you have your girls' weekend, I'll talk about that first. You can still stay within your twos. Right? Your plan can be make the best decision possible, stay within my twos, and this is how many drinks I'll have. You know, when I go on vacation, that's my plan. You know, I don't necessarily say I'm going to, you know, have a salad for lunch and a, you know, chicken and broccoli for dinner because, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. But I can commit to my hunger scale and I can commit to not overeating. Okay. So, and I always plan my drinks, always plan my drinks because, you know, that's something that's easy to do and translates to any restaurant, right? But when you talk about the plan feels like it conflicts with my 2-pound goal this week, I'm wondering why it conflicts. You know, if you're eating 2 to 2 and you're planning, and it's realistic, you know, maybe if it conflicts with your weight loss goals, maybe you should look at why and which is more important to you, the realistic plan, because that's what you'll follow, or losing 2 pounds. Maybe you should be okay with losing 1 pound on the realistic plan until you're ready to level up that plan and not feel restricted. That's the key to realistic planning. You know, it's not always, when you realistically plan, you're teaching yourself to commit to the plan, okay? You're teaching yourself that I can plan, first of all, that I can commit to the plan, second of all, and then I can assess the plan. So when you feel good about realistic planning and executing and assessing, then you can pick something to level up and you can work towards your 2 pound a week goal. But if it's most important to lose the weight and to lose it fast, then ask yourself, is that what's going to be sustainable for me? Teaching yourself the new habit of planning, assessing, executing is really, you know, what's key to laying the foundation to losing weight and keeping it off. Angela, what can I do to work on the failure issue? Questions for TDLs. Let me look back here, Angela. Okay. So ask yourself why it feels like failure. Ask yourself, I'm not really sure what the failure issue was, to be honest with you, because I don't remember what I said or what you said that may have triggered that. Ask yourself why it feels like failure. You know, what if, is it any mistake that feels like failure? Because failure is a really strong word. And why does that bother you? Why does failing bother you? Is it a mistake that you made? Is it because you didn't do something perfectly? You know, I'm learning every single day I work on failure. In fact, my vision board has, I wish it's, I've changed offices, so it's not right behind me anymore, but has a question on it. What am I willing to fail at in order to achieve my goals? Okay. These are the things I'm willing to fail at in order to achieve my goals. And maybe, you know, you're willing to fail at creating a realistic plan. You know, maybe it was too restrictive, but you figure that out and you try again. Right? Because if you're perfect all the time, there's no growth. And nobody is perfect all the time. So you have to make mistakes and you have to experience a little bit of failure now and then in order to figure out what your next steps ought to be, in order to figure out how to level up, how to live this new life, how to create your results. You know, the first time you go out and try something new, chances are you're not going to do it perfectly. Let's think about golf, right? Let's decide today you and I are going to go play golf and we're going to shoot par. Is that possible? Or are we going to have to figure out our swing? Are we going to have to figure out how to track the ball? Are we going to have to figure out where the golf course is? You know, there's sometimes you have to work toward a goal, right? It doesn't automatically come to you. So you can ask yourself, what did I learn today from that mistake? What did I learn? What can I level up tomorrow? What can I try tomorrow to set me back on the right path? That's how you look at failure. That's how you look at leveling up. That's how you look at your mistakes. You look at them as guideposts to figuring out the next step. Okay? Jill, talk me through my thoughts around people noticing my weight loss and complimenting me. But my thought is, I know I've lost weight many times before. You're probably pitying me and thinking I will fail again. I'm going to tell you, Jill, that that's probably what you're telling yourself, right? If you're judging what other people are saying to you, it's probably because you're judging yourself. So if that's what you're telling yourself, then you might want to ask yourself, is that really the dialogue that you want to have in your head? Most of the time when we're guessing what other people are thinking, it's because we're thinking those thoughts ourselves. If you have a boss that tells you, good job, you might say, wow, you know, that's good. I'm glad he told me good job. Or you might say, wonder why he didn't tell me that yesterday. Maybe yesterday I wasn't doing a good job, right? You're actually judging his thought, his compliment, because you're worried about whether or not you did a good job yesterday. So look at that, right? You are probably worried yourself that you're going to fail, right? And I just finished talking about failure. What if we just all assumed that at some point this week, we're going to make a mistake? How about at some point today, we're going to make a mistake? We're going to eat off plan. We're going to, you know, eat to plus 2.5 instead of plus 2. We're not going to get our water in. Something's going to happen. You know, we're going to, stay up too late. We're going to make a mistake at something, you know, because guess what? We're not perfect. We don't have little angel wings flying around, sprinkling fairy dust on people, right? What are you going to make that mean? Are you going to make that mean you're a failure? Or are you going to make that mean I've got something I can build on? That's what it's going to boil down to. That's how you look at failure. I'm making everyone's favorite thing tonight, 3 kids plus husband. It feels a lot like temptation. Did you plan it? Did you put everyone's favorite thing on your plan tonight? What if you just put it on your plan and say, I'm going to eat to a 2? Does that still feel like temptation? Realistic plan. It's Valentine's Day, right? Tanya, when I plan for something sweet, I always write a limit. Like today, I said 1 Valentine's Day treat. Everything else in my plan just has food, not amounts. I want to be realistic. But also feel that designated number is from fear or not being able to stick to a reasonable amount of the sweet thing. How can I more confidently plan for those sweet things without fear I'm going to eat all the chocolate? Why is just planning 1 a bad thing? What if that's constraint that you give yourself because it feels good? Think about it in those terms, right? That's how I plan. You know, do you think when I plan cheesecake, I plan 1 piece of cheesecake. When I plan birthday cake, like my granddaughter had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, I put on my plan 1 small piece of cake. If I just put cake on my plan, then there's no constraint there. And I like constraint. Constraint works for me. So if that works for you, why is that a problem? You know, just ask yourself that question. Why is that a problem? Maybe you're trusting yourself because you plan 1 piece of Valentine's Day candy. Maybe that's how you trust yourself. Sarah, when I do a recovery worksheet, every single time my thought that I write down is, that looks good. Then I eat the thing. Do I need to dig deeper on that thought? If so, how? Well, that could be the thought. There might be something deeper and there might not be. You know, why? Ask yourself why you give into that thought. There's a lot of foods out there that look good that you don't eat, I bet. Right? So why in that food? Why that particular food? Is it the same food? Just ask yourself a lot of questions about it. You know, picture me or Betsy or Corinne standing over your shoulder going, so why did that one feel good? Why did that one look good? You know, why didn't the broccoli? Why didn't you overeat the broccoli? Just ask yourself questions. Melissa, how do I get out of constant failure? I make a plan, then don't stick to it. I feel like I fail in this journey of weight loss. I don't know how to get out of this cycle. I want to succeed, but I think I'm scared to succeed. Makes sense. Melissa, I really want you to get on a call because constant or write more about this in Ask Coaches. I want to hear what you think constant failure is. I think this is going to take a little bit more dialogue between you and either me or Betsy. Okay. So when you say I make a plan and then don't stick to it, I want you to make realistic plans. All right. So start there. Write down. In fact, I do this sometimes on my office hours. Write down exactly what you ate yesterday and ask yourself why that's not on your plan today. Okay. Ask yourself what do I want to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to eat for dinner? Not what do I think I should eat? Okay. Start there and stop practicing failure. Start with a realistic plan and stop practicing failure. And then if there's more to that, more to constant failure than that, post in Ask Coaches or get on one of the office hours and let's talk about it some more. Ray, I just finished all the No BS modules. I will continue to work on the 4 basics. Should I listen to the deep dive into the 4 basics? That's a great thing to do. I feel like I want to keep working on modules. Any other recommendations? You can always go back and listen to No BS again. If you want to expand on the basics, the deep dive into the four basics is a great place to go. That was the January program. So if you were a newbie in January and didn't do that, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'd do, especially if you want to understand those basics more and learn more about how to apply them. All right, last one, because we're at about an hour. I have talked for an hour, y'all. Wow. Virginia says, I'm not losing weight the last month. I keep gaining and losing the same couple pounds. I think it's stress-related, both food and hormones. Obviously, my coping mechanisms aren't working. Any ideas on coping mechanisms? If you're using food to cope with stress, then I would stop. Wow, that was some good coaching, right? Hormones. If you are uber stressed, your body is releasing a hormone called cortisol, which does inhibit weight loss. Okay. If you are uber stressed and you stress eat, your body is maintaining its weight because you are eating to maintain. So to cope, you know, we can action line this all day long. I would post in the group, ask people, how do you cope with stress? And they're going to tell you, everybody's going to tell you all the different ways they cope with stress. Some of the things I do is I thought download and I ask myself, why am I stressed? And do I really want to think those thoughts? Or do I just want to do my work? Okay. Sometimes your brain just needs to rest. Sometimes it needs to stop thinking for a minute. So meditation is a good thing to help with stress. 5 minutes. There's my five. All you need is 5 minutes of meditation to calm your brain. Another way to cope with stress is to exercise a little bit. Take a walk, take a 10-minute walk, get out of your office, get out of your, you know, whatever situation you're in, say, you know what, I'm going to need 10 minutes here, and just, you know, walk around the building, walk around the block, walk around the whatever. Whatever it is to separate yourself from the stress that you can do is a good coping mechanism. But usually stress, which is stressed, is a feeling which is created by a thought. If you can identify that thought and decide whether or not it's working for you, whether or not you want to keep thinking it, how you can up-level it, many times you can alleviate your stress. Okay? Stress and overwhelm sometimes go together, so watch for that. Overwhelm is fixed by moving into action. So if you find that you are stressed and overwhelmed and you just move to that next step, that next task, and you finish something, then you begin to feel better as well. Those are my suggestions. But Virginia, I really would post in the Facebook group and see what other people do. All right, you guys, that's it. We're at an hour, so I'm going to call it. I hope you all have a beautiful Valentine's Day. I hope you have planned all of your treats if you're going to eat them. Ken and I decided we weren't buying treats this year, didn't need them. So that's fine, but we are going to go out to eat either lunch or dinner because I have options on my realistic plan. So you guys have a great day and I will see you soon. Oh, let me tell you real quick. Betsy has office hours noon to 2 on Saturday Central Time. I'll be back in 6 to 8 on Tuesday night. Don't Stop Believing is still open, y'all. We still have room. We have room in the 2-day. If you missed April camp, if you're on the wait list for April camp, I don't know, you know, we're not having a lot of cancellations, y'all. You might want to think about signing up for Don't Stop Believing, because not only do we have the race, we have the group, we have a training plan, we have Jill Angie, who did her first Q&A last week. It is stored on the training page. So anybody who joins can always go back and listen to that. In fact, next week we're going to do a watch party and listen to it again in the race group. We're going to have coaching. We're going to have a day. Sunday is going to be Corinne coaching, just like camp. And we're going to have a 2-day. So it's like, you know, regular camp weekend with a race thrown in. A little bit less coaching, but a lot of sisterhood. So think about it. You know, it's a great event, awesome event, fun, accomplishment, success, all kinds of really great feelings during race weekend. So think about it. Okay. don't think about it. Get off, what is it Corinne says? Get off that splintery fence and sign up. It's a great weekend. And do the 2-day. All right, you guys, that's it. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.